Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
On YouTube, on podcast, on live, this is Rebel Yell from the WFCSN. This is the Rebel Yell podcast, supported by MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Rebel Yell podcast. 2 weeks after our last one, or is it a week after our last one, guys?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, and we've already come back for you for the second one, but this one's a little bit special, isn't it, Spencer?
Yeah, we've got a women's special.
Women's special. Well, we thought, I mean, Jacko, it's no point introducing you anymore, but I guess, yeah, here you go, Jacko's here again.
Hello.
Hello, he's come back. We didn't scare him off.
Yeah,
we didn't scare him off, did we, Spence? But we thought the women did so well last year. You know, there's so much buzz around women, the women's game at the moment with the World Cup final on Sunday, you know, getting Kelly and John on, getting a couple of new players, that we should get a podcast just for them for the beginning of the season. Well, next month we'll go back to the usual Rebel Yell podcast, both. But guys, action-packed one, and we've got Barry Hunter joining us later on, the chairman, to speak about the investment and stuff going on around the club.
Well, it's exciting times around the club generally at the moment. Mm. You know, we focus on the men, and most people focus on the men's team, but the women did fantastic last year. Exciting season ahead after promotion, and lots of stuff going, exciting stuff going on off the pitch as well, which Barry will fill us in on, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we've got a great season to look forward to, with the men who are doing so far great, and I think with the women's team, you know, if they continue what they did last year, I think it's going to be very exciting. But hopefully John and Kelly can tell us more about it later.
Well, you're very good at leading on. You're already learning the podcast tricks, aren't you, Jacko? So should we go and speak to John and Kelly right now?
Let's do that, Dad.
Let's do that.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
John, nice to have you back.
Thank you.
You've been joined by Kelly. She's taking some of your limelight.
Well, she deserves it. She's the reason why we won the league, so that's all right.
Got that up in a plaque, Kelly.
Well, I'm going to get that statement recorded and, you know, listen
to it. Well, it's going to be on here. It's going to be on here now. So, John and Kelly, welcome back to the Rebel Yell Podcast, episode 2 for the 23-24 season. You're first in the FA Women's National League Division 1. Have I got that right? I have got that right.
Southeast.
Nearly right. It's less of a mouthful than the last one, isn't it? The London and Southeast,
blah, blah, blah.
Anyway, how's the summer been? What's it been like preparing for the summer this year?
Pre-season's always a pain in the backside because the availability of players, so they deserve to go away on holidays. But when you're trying to sort of bed in a system, bed in how we're going to play, and you're sometimes dictated by who's available. But we've eventually got there, and we've a couple of formations, different ways of playing. So, yeah, we're here.
Good range of opposition as well. You know, there's been some of the games that have been more on the easier side, to put it like that. This would be quite kind. Yeah. But, you know, sort of the last couple of games, Moneyfields and Fulham, they're good challenges, weren't they?
Definitely. So what we did originally is, because we finished the season so late, we didn't want to come back as early as we could have done. So what we did is we put a game in against an opposition which kindly offered to play us earlier in, knowing that it wouldn't be as physically challenged as the others. So it would be a good game for us to get going quite early in the season. So, and then Kelly did lots of work to try and arrange some games that would be progressively tougher. How was that for you, Kelly?
Yeah, teams dropping out last minute is always fun. So, you know, we expected to have another team in Tier 4 as one of our oppositions that pulled out on us. So then it was a last-minute change to get a replacement midweek, and they dropped out with us the day before. So we managed to get a final one in, you know, literally confirmed the day before, didn't we? So it's a lot of messing around in pre-season, but I think we got, you know, as much as we possibly could out of it, so, which was good.
Yeah, to have Southampton pull out and then Portsmouth, who I presume were the replacements.
Yes.
That's a real spanner in the works, isn't it, as far as prep?
It is, and often it is at short notice. So, you know, we knew that it would probably happen, so we had to look at how we would replace that. So we had a few teams that we could contact. But in terms of the players, in terms of the work they put in, the questions they ask, which is nice, and then add in some players who've played at a very good level, it's enabled us to push the training sessions on and push the level of the games on. So they've really driven it forward, if I was to compliment them, which I suppose I should, shouldn't I?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
We're talking about pre-season, but I'd just like to go back to last season, and especially the last game here at Woodside when you became champions on the Wednesday night. And something has been bugging me ever since that night. Everywhere you win a championship, win a trophy, you get a trophy at the end. And there was a lack of the league being here. And the way the women football is going at the moment, I think there was a massive mistake from the league. And I think you and the team deserved much better than that.
Well, thank you for that. I think it was disappointing in a way, but sometimes you just have to deal with it. So we knew we needed to win that game to win the league. So that was the main focus. But it would have been great, more so for the players, to celebrate that, you know, with the league representatives being there. Unfortunately, you know, the league we're in, although it was a high level, it was still considered grassroots football, and you got lots of volunteers in the, you know, committees and everything. So if they weren't available for it, then they couldn't get down to it. So I'm not giving excuses for it, but I think, yeah, it would have been nice to have a bigger celebration. I agree with you.
You know, it doesn't matter what you win, everybody likes a medal.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it would have been. So the excitement wasn't diminished because of that, but I think for celebration for everyone who was watching and everyone, you know, the players, supporters, friends, family, etc., it would have been nice for them.
So we talked about last season, let's talk about this season. You've had, at the moment, as I can count, 5 new signings. Am I correct? You've got Abby Dolding in goal.
Mm-hmm.
Izzy Glass-Oliver, defender.
Yeah.
Becky Barth, forward.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Rowe, midfielder. And Emma Blakely, fresh off the press tonight. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she'd be...
Yeah, she's talking to us in a bit. Anyway, so when you looked at the squad, were these ones that you felt needed to sort of get the squad to the next level and compete at a decent level at this side? Because I know you were quite pleased with the squad you had last season.
Yeah.
Obviously, there has been some players leaving and going and stuff and moving around.
Yeah.
But are these a sort of, this is a level? Because obviously, you've been in women's football a long time, you too. But you see some of the players coming from places like Portsmouth. Mm. You know, that to me is a big signing and a big statement by the club.
Yeah, and she was the Portsmouth captain.
Yeah.
So she didn't leave because of ability. Mm. She just left for other reasons. So, and what was nice, she contacted us.
Oh, interesting. Oh.
So that shows something that she's obviously heard some good things.
Do you find it a little bit like, speaking on our last episode to Adam Hinch with the men's manager, he's saying now he's having to sell Worthing a lot less than he used to before.
Yeah.
Is that, you find that at your level as well now?
Yeah. I just say Kelly's doing the coaching, I'm stepping back, and then they want to sign.
Stay away.
No, it does, and I think players, it's a small world football, so they know when something's being done correctly, and we try to do that as much as we can. they actually like that professionalism, you know, being expected to be at training sessions, expected to work hard, expected to commit themselves for it. They expect that, and the better players like that. So when that's sort of there for the offering, they like it. So we saw last year with Rachel and Ellie come down two divisions to play, and they've been offered. I think one of the things that Dan said to me, Danielle Rowe, she said, I was very surprised that the amount of financial offers I had to go to teams, and she come to us for nothing.
That says something about the way Worthing is going, isn't it?
Definitely.
And how you two work. That people want to play for free.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I think that's the thing.
Go on, Kelly,
I think we try and build a dynamic of a team, you know, similar to what you're seeing in the Women's England team right now, where they enjoy each other's company. You can see they want to play for one another. Yeah. So, you know, we won't accept anyone. It doesn't matter how good you are. If we feel that you're a bad apple and you're going to upset the dynamics of the team, then we're not interested in you. So I think players buy into that. You know, we spend a lot of time together throughout the week. So you want to spend your time with players you like and you enjoy their company. So I think that's very important for us.
Yeah, it's not even just on the pitch, it's off the pitch as well, isn't it? There's such a group together off the pitch as well, isn't it? Whether it, you know, it's at training or before the games, after the games, you can really see that sort of group unity, and you know, they all get on and they want to work and play well for each other.
Yeah, they really are a great bunch. You know, just before this, they're getting together and they're trying to set a date so they can have a team quiz night and, you know, a team bonding session and get as many people there as possible. So they're, you know, they understand how important that dynamic of the team is. So, you know, it's really good.
No, it's great. I think that's one of the, you see, I think you go back to even when Leicester won the Premier League, you know, they weren't like nowhere near the amount of money that teams like City, United, Arsenal had spent, but they all wanted to play together. And I think that's how you start. You know, that's how teams work. That's how teams work.
I remember coming watching the women's team on a Sunday, and you had to bring your own kind of drink with you because there was nothing open. Yeah. Now you can get everything what is offered on a men's match day. So, you know, it's great.
Yeah. I think that's it. That's important that the club's open for anyone to come and watch. The bar's open, there's some food and drink. And if you know and guarantee it's going to be on, you know that that's where you can go. You don't have to think, well, look, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, where I'm going to have something to eat, where I'm going to have something to drink. I can actually have it at the club, watch a good game of football. And I think a lot of people obviously come and watch the youth teams in the morning. So at the actual bar and everything is open all day. And I think that's significant. It steps all everything up, so it makes that match day experience for the supporters who we want to come and watch to be able to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, so get on down, folks.
He reached for the microphone just for that. There we go. one of the things I think was fantastic for the club is that Bowhouse have been a massive sponsor last season. They've renewed his sponsor. Is it for the whole period of the shirt, the whole 2 years of the shirt? Am I right in saying? Yeah, I think
I don't know,
but he's always down here. He's down here supporting the team. He sponsored coaches to the big, and it's fantastic to see local businesses like that. You've obviously got Focus on the shirt as well. It's fantastic. So for the rest of the season, what are your expectations for this season? Where do you think, like, honestly, from like this is an unknown for a lot of the fans that are listening to this. Where do you seriously think will be, like, last season? You said to us at the beginning we should be right up there, and you were right up there. What do you expect from league and what you know of the league?
I think with the players we've added, we should be punching up at the top again. The biggest challenge this season would be is we won the league and it was phenomenal last season, but there were some games that we were comfortable in, and that gave us a real opportunity to get some players back from injuries and ease them back in. We could hold them out a little bit longer because we knew the teams that we were playing, we'd got a good chance of beating some of them. So it enabled us to keep that 16-player squad as fit as possible. Yeah. Because you saw towards the end of the season when we had 5 games in 18 days, our 3 subs on the last game of the season were like question mark whether they could play or not. Mm. And then we had to use them because we'd put all those games in. So I think that would be the big challenge for us this season, is to keep those players fit. And I think that'll have a big effect this season.
Well, we kick off on Sunday against AFC Wimbledon. obviously the Women's World Cup final is before the Lionesses have hit the final, which is amazing for this country again. So the question is it coming home?
What, the 11 o'clock final, you mean, World Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to win. Yeah, they're going to win.
I think they'll win. And what does that, you know, we've said about the Euros, obviously, last year. We know we've spoken to Barry about it. We've spoken to other parts of the club. Hopefully, in the future, we can have a pathway for young girls to get into football. If England win the World Cup on Sunday, do you think it's just going to propel English women's football to another level again?
Yeah, I think we saw the impact of the Euros last year, and I think this World Cup is going to have another similar impact. You know, my goddaughter now talks to me about women's football. She's 7 and never really had interest in football, but she tells me Lucy Bronze is her favourite player. You know, so she's into dancing and drama, those kind of things, not football, but she knows these players now and she's excited about it. So, you know, it's fantastic. We've just got to keep the momentum going for the game now.
Fingers crossed it could give a good kickstart to a good Sunday of football, hopefully, as well.
Well, there might be a question on this Sunday's game for us, because so many teams want to watch the World Cup final and so many are trying to travel while the final's on.
Yeah.
So we may not be playing Wimbledon this Sunday now.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Interesting. So keep an eye on the social media then.
Yes.
But that for
but
you...
we have got Porter's Head away the week after.
Bloody hell. That's a long way, isn't it? That's a long way.
Yeah,
it is. That's an away day.
Where there's no transport available.
Fantastic. There we go. Thank you to the league. John and Kelly, good luck for the season. We'll speak to you next episode, but thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good luck. Good to see you.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
Well, it's nice to have Kelly as well, because we always see her around, and she did admit she's quite people shy, and I had to say it's face for radio and all that stuff. But great to hear. They've had some new players this season. Abby Dolding, new goalkeeper. Izzy Glass-Oliver, defender. Becky Barth, Daniel Rowe, and Emma Blakely. Blakely? Sorry if I said that wrong. I've just interviewed her. I was going to interview, so it's ridiculous. But really top names coming to the club now from big clubs like Portsmouth. I mean, when Danielle, when I saw signed from Portsmouth, and Becky Barth, where did she sign from again? Becky Barth. Or was another big guy, wasn't it? Well, it was Wimbledon. Or MK Dons. I think it was AFC Wimbledon.
Someone from Lewis?
Lewis as well, yeah. You know, John, it just shows that, you know, the name of John and Kelly is really sort of reverberating around Sussex now.
Yeah, well, it's the appeal of John and Kelly. Kelly gets credit as well. And, you know, word is out there of what a great group we've got and what a great club we've got and the direction we're moving in.
No, it's fantastic. I mean, I think, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I admit, hold my hands up and say, you know, a few years ago, you know, I wasn't that interested in watching women's football. But, you know, the buzz around the England women's team, watching it down the club over the past few years has really got me into it. And it's not just me. You see so many people in the UK now are absolutely... I was cheering on England probably just as much as I was cheering on the men's team during the last, you know, World Cup and Euros. So, you know, to have these girls and these people coming down. Spencer, you say you've got loads, there's loads of kids that come down at weekend now cheering on the players at the side. Jacker, you say that. And, you know, these are people that are going to start idolising these players. And you never know, in a few years' time, we could see one of the Worthing players playing for the Lionesses.
Wouldn't that be nice? You know, I think people should come really on a Sunday, if you know, come and watch it and make your own mind up. We say it's fantastic, but, you know, I think you have to believe us on this one. But, you know, like I said before, the football is really good. You know, I always enjoy coming.
Yeah, and if you've got a season ticket, you're getting for free on your season ticket.
And Spencer just spends it on the bar anyway.
And even if you haven't, it's £2 for adults.
£4 now.
Oh, I may be giving up.
We've got the leagues. Got to get more revenue in, haven't we? So
anyway, it's a cheap day out,
and you know it's great. But without further ado, Emma Blakely, who's, as I said, box fresh. You know, Rebel Yell exclusive. Worth it. I don't even think Hayden's had the chance to interview yet. You know, no. Liminelle, like...
Well, I believe she's literally just signed
She's
tonight.
Literally, so I hope she's published tonight or tomorrow before this podcast's out before 3 o'clock, because we will exclusively have a new player and it hasn't been announced yet. But Daniel Rowe, she was the first signing of the summer from Portsmouth, and Emma Blakely join us now on the Rebel Yell podcast.
The Rebel Yell podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
So welcome to the Rebel Yell podcast, episode 2. We've got Danielle Rowe and Emma Blakely, two new signings. Danielle, as we just said off air, you're old news now, sorry, but you were the first summer signing. Emma, I don't know if you're going to be announced by the time it's out. I hope you are, because then I'm going to get the chairman who's sitting right next to us telling me off of announcing news early. But welcome to Worthing Football Club. You're joining at a time where the club is just on an upward trajectory after last season, a fantastic like win of the title, last day drama it came down to. And, you know, as you see the buzz around the club, you know, the men's team doing so well in the National League South, women's being promoted. Firstly, I guess, Danielle, you got the mic in your hand. Why Worthing?
I know John from years ago when he used to coach me at Brighton, for one thing. I know a few of the girls down here, so I've been hearing about the season from last year. Obviously, you know, hearing about the atmosphere, obviously they absolutely smashed it in the league. So it was just sort of me looking for a new challenge, really, and something exciting to be a part of.
Yeah, because we were saying to John in the interview just done with him, like, you came from Portsmouth, you were their club captain, yeah. You know, Portsmouth, you know, wherever they are, that's a big name. Yeah. And, you know, Worthing are becoming up-and-coming name. You know, it was a shock signing. It's a statement. So was there anything that sort of drove you towards coming towards the club?
I think it was just the ambition. I think, obviously, the intention, you know, a couple of the other signings, such as Emma, for example, next to me, you know, you can tell straight away that that was the ambition. The ambition isn't just to come up to Tier 4 and sit in the league and plod along. You know, that's not John, and I know that's not him. And you know, from speaking to him in pre-season and before I even signed, you know, he made that very clear. So for me, the aim is to obviously try and help Worthing, you know, go as high as they can.
Yeah.
So moving on from that stage of the discussions with John and joining and then playing in pre-season, how have you found that so far, that experience?
Yeah, no, it's been good. I think pre-season's been really enjoyable. We've had some tough tests, some maybe not so tough, but they're all good to get under your belt, good to get minutes in. But yeah, no, it's been really enjoyable. Obviously taking a bit of time for myself to adapt to a completely new group of girls, which I've not had to do for a while from being at Portsmouth for so long. But you know, it's a great group down here, and it's, yeah, just looking forward to getting started now.
So tell us a little bit about yourself then. So a bit about yourself, where you live. Are you in the Worthing area? Have you come from Portsmouth area, or, you know, and what do you do as your day job?
So I live up near Hayward Heath. So it's a lot
closer drive for
closer
you.
Closer than Portsmouth, yeah. So that was another bonus for me as well. Obviously Hayward Heath are now in this league as well, so that's a nice local one for me for the midweeker.
I wouldn't shout about that if you're playing them, to be honest. We're starting a rivalry here, aren't we?
But yeah, so that was sort of a thing for me as well in terms of the journey. But day to day, I work for Brighton Council, manage customer service team down there. So normally end up coming.
Again, I don't think you should say that on the podcast, because you're going to have people coming up to you after the game with customer complaints.
Potentially not, no. And it's, just use a different name, it'll be fine.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Well, yeah, we'll give you a sort of different nickname or something.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. Yeah.
So, Emma, over to you. So it sounds like you've been around the club pre season, but you've just been announced. And from what I understand from speaking to John, you're already kind of linked in with the club in the sort of academy type of, you know, with Chichester College, am I right in saying?
Yeah, so our men's, Chichester College men's, created the partnership with Worthing last year. And so as a part of that, the women's side were allowed to play here on Wednesday. So I already knew of the club, and really looking to build that partnership now that I'm here playing as well.
So how did the move come about for you then?
It was very last minute, if I'm honest. I was at my previous club, Salesie, for 10 years. So it was quite a hard decision to leave there. But John actually tried signing me when he was at Lewis about 10 years ago. So I thought, let's give it a go.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's funny because like we've said, Spencer and you know, Jacko, we've had a lot of these podcasts and you know a lot of the women that come have known John. He's been known in the Sussex area for a long time. So obviously that must be a massive positive, like, because obviously he's obviously a good influence because you wouldn't be coming if he wasn't. You know, it must be great to finally say, okay, John, I'll come play for you.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's known for being not only a good manager but a very good coach. And the second that I arrived here with his sessions, straight away was really, really impressed. And know that I'm going to learn a lot from him, even though I've had a bit of experience, but I'll learn a lot.
And it must give you a lot of faith as well. If he was in for you 10 years ago and he's still been watching you, must have been in contact and he's come back.
Yeah, I thought he might be able to get a bit of revenge and say, no, I don't want you anymore, because I didn't actually go there. I stayed with Chichester. But yeah, so it's nice to be able to say yes now.
So let's talk about yourself. You work at Chichester College. Are you part of the sort of, is it physical education? Or when it was called PE, sports department, what's the actual title for it now?
So I'm a lecturer. I teach across the BTEC sport and the football programs that they have there. Yeah. So I teach on the football coaching programs.
And what age groups are they? Is that from 16?
16 yeah. to, depending... it's normally 16 to 19, but it can be older students as well.
Yeah. So talking, like we've spoken to John, this is obviously, you know, England are in the World Cup final this weekend, which is amazing, you know, and they won the Euros last year, which was just such an achievement, especially yourself, but I guess Danielle yourself as well. But have you found working in, you know, like college and education, you've seen girls really take an interest of football since winning? And, you know, with the England being in the World Cup final, do you think this is going to take another level?
Yeah, definitely. Already, especially at the college, we've seen a lot more girls be interested in signing and playing for us. But I think what's really helped with the Lionesses, what they're doing, is we're now giving opportunities for girls that maybe didn't have those opportunities and giving girls role models. So, like, I don't know about Dan, but when I was younger, my role models were like Thierry Henry and people like that. Whereas these girls now can have Russo, Hemp, like people like that. And I think that's really, really important. And
that
really
must
nice
be amazing for you, because you've probably had the sort of frustration, you know, of being in the women's game for so long that no one cares about it until the last few years. No, you're now putting words in my mouth, Danielle.
More mature.
Experience. Yeah, he's got that right, that experience. But it must be nice, though, because, you know, you're now going to see girls coming down to Woodside watching the women's game, probably more and more. You know, Spencer, you come quite a lot of the weekends. I'm unable to often come down, but you've seen over the past 2 or 3 years how many more people are coming down. Jacko, you've come down with your family as well. And when even I've come down, and you think, you know, people are going to start, like, you know, idolising you guys, for example, and thinking, you know, you never know, there could be a Worthing player that starts out a young 18, 17, 18, that may end up representing the Lionesses one day.
Yeah, and I think that's what's really good. And the overall standard of the women's game has definitely improved. And I think what's really nice here at Worthing is you can see that they are really passionate about their women's side as well. Like, when I was at Salesy last year, I had to be the secretary as well as a player, which was really tough. Whereas here, you can see they've got people in roles that need to
good
be there.
Good old Gareth, is that, yeah? Good old Gareth.
but you'll see as the season goes on, we do our absolute best to get sort of local young girls' teams in to come, and there'll be mascots and, you know, they'll come and watch and support, and, you know, the whole setup of getting the men as young as possible and involved and meeting the players, you know, what we do here is really impressive.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that straight away. I don't know about you, yeah.
What was it like at Portsmouth, Danielle? Was it a big fan base? You know, were you playing at Fratton Park, or was it like the training grounds you were playing and stuff?
Yeah, they kind of would make an occasion of the games at Fratton Park. We played there once or twice a season, and we did get quite a few, you know, in just a pre-season friendly against Brighton, we played down at Fratton Park and had sort of over 3,000 people watching, you know, which for a pre-season friendly, we would have never expected anything like that. They did and do have a really good fan base down there, and it, you know, it is one of the the really good things about Portsmouth as a club. Yeah. They do have a strong following. A lot of people that used to travel home and away, even when we were, you know, going down to Plymouth, Ipswich, you know, places like that, there was a strong following.
Did Mr. Portsmouth ever travel with you?
No, sadly not. No.
Wasn't he? He's been banned about 50 million times, I think.
I'm surprised he didn't turn up, to be honest.
So we heard of John Season's expectations. He thinks, you know, with the investment in the squad and, you know, the signings, that you're going to be well up at the top in the business end. Girls, what do you think? You know, like, as a player, obviously, as a player, you want to be right at the top, but, like, realistically, as you know, in the club and the feeling around it, what do you think, you know, knowing the leagues and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, look, everyone wants to go into a league and do as well as they can. From the outside, the expectation isn't on us. It's like, you know, it's like Luton going up to the Premier League in the men's and thinking that they're going to win the title over Man City. Do you know what I mean? It's not, realistically, it's not going to happen. So, you know,
I'll take you back on that. You never know.
If
this comes back and see if it's time they do a Leicester and they're like, right, at the top, I'll get you back in. So I'll replay the clip.
What was that
you said?
But, you know, from that point of view, people would probably just expect Worthington, newly promoted team, just to come up and sort of be sort of in the relegation battle or just above it. But that's not why we're here. That's not why I joined. You know, we're aiming for top three, but I'll leave it at that because I don't want to set the
expectations. You've got the chairman sitting next to you.
Don't want to set the expectations too high.
Yeah, I think we gave him the fright last season with Hinch and the men's team, didn't we? Thinking we might be in the National League this year. But, you know, I think that's sigh of relief when we lost to Oxford. But no, we joke, we wanted to do it. We always ask players at their first interview an interesting fact about yourself. And I don't tell you before because it really puts you on the spot. We used to do favourite biscuits. It's a bit boring that now. We don't care about it anymore. Now it's an interesting fact. Interesting, so something like, you know, keep it clean as well. You know, we all say, you know.
Somebody famous.
Or something interesting, yeah. Who was it that... who was it that had...
Lucas,
no, he just said he went sliding through a swimming pool. There was one of the women's last year, I think. Was it something to do with Bobby Moore or something like that? Yeah. I can't remember. But anyway, I don't.
Mine's definitely girls, not that girls, interesting.
Stop. Yeah, you're just happy for us to talk while you think there. Like, come on, Emma's got the microphone in her hand.
I don't know. I lost my kidney playing football last season.
Right, this is interesting. Right, here we go. That sounds painful and interesting.
Yeah.
How
did that happen?
We were playing against Hashtag in a cup game and I went for a tackle and I think she thought I was slide tackling, but I wasn't. I stayed upright and she like jumped up with her knees and it just went like straight in there and I thought obviously straight away went down and I thought, oh, I've done my rib or something, but something wasn't right. And yeah, went to hospital. She'd lacerated my kidney, so it basically split in half. To be honest, really fortunate to still be alive. But they removed it, so I'm fine now.
Barry's now thinking, bloody hell, the insurance bill's going to go through the roof now.
No, actually, the men are sponsored by Vita, aren't they?
Yeah,
I took out insurance Vita before, and... that was really beneficial.
So that doesn't just like, that's on a personal and professional level, that must be, could very seriously impact. You must have to like approach life completely differently now, am I right?
Do you know what? It's weirdly helped my game. I know that sounds really stupid, but I used to just fly into tackles, to be honest.
You still do?
Yeah. Well, not as bad as I used to be. So it's helped me understand, slow down a little bit, Em. You're not gonna be able to clatter through them every time. Yeah, so
that's very interesting.
I think we've completed this feature, haven't we? We've got to think of something new.
We're gonna have to think of a new
Sorry, Dan, I've absolutely killed
Daniel,
you.
No chance. Can you beat that? Can you beat that?
No, I can't.
I'm so sorry. I should have got
a biscuit anymore for obvious reasons.
No, you're not.
You've experienced loads.
Have I?
You're very interesting. Come on. No, I don't know. I've not had any big injuries like that.
We've done the 999 stuff. That's out of the window. Yeah. Like, let's do something. Personal life.
Not really.
No.
I gave up, this isn't even that interesting, but I gave up football for a year because I went travelling and just sacked it off at home.
Where did you go travelling?
Sacked off work.
You're talking to a flight attendant right here, so there we go. I like.
Oh, there you go. Southeast Asia, Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, Bali. Nice. Went to Australia.
Was that on your own? Was that on your own though?
No, my other half.
Your other half.
Yeah,
so that's still cool.
Australia and New Zealand as well. So
yeah, that was bags full of rehydration salts. I'm sure going
absolutely.
To those parts of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there we go.
Bali belly.
Yeah, really bad.
Barley belly. Sure. I heard Deli belly, that's a new one.
No, Barley belly's bad. Yeah.
Right. On that note, I think we need to send, this is meant to be a nice
this
podcast.
Yeah,
kidney, to talk about bowels. Yeah, there we go. Danielle and Emma, good luck for the season. It's really great to chat to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pass on to the other girls that it's not too scary to come on this podcast because it's always a bit of anticipation when, especially the last
So you're asking us to lie?
She's a cheeky one, this one, isn't she? Right, we look forward to seeing you. We'll see, well, we might see you on Sunday because we've heard it depends on, you know, if it's playing or not, but we'll see you throughout the season otherwise. And last question, is it coming home?
Absolutely.
100%.
Fantastic, girls. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Cheers, thank you.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
Great to hear from those players, guys. As we sort of joked off air, so, you know, from when we started this podcast, Spencer, they used to come in really, all the players, men, women, they used to come in so shy and like now, full of energy, full of excitement.
Right,
you know, they just know what a brand Rebel Yell is. As we said, like, we make people's careers in the media. So when we see Daniel Rome and Emma Blakely presenting Match of the Day 2 in a few years' time with Alex Scott, you know, we know where they started their media careers, eh?
I think what is quite funny to see. John and Kelly said, I think it was Kelly who said, we don't recruit just on your football abilities, but also what kind of person you are.
Yeah.
And judging by the interview we just had, you know, I think as a group, they just really click, and I think it shows.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same with all the players when we interviewed them. We say exactly the same. And, you know, if you're down here on a Sunday and you see them, just the way they are on the pitch, and they will stay in the bar afterwards, they'll get on fantastically. They're all off on a night out, or they're organising their next night out. They're a really good group.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never look at steak and kidney pie in the same way again after that revelation.
more just steak, the kidney
James,
gone.
Oh, here we go. I was going to say James Brain in the tone down, and Spencer just doing his dad jokes again. If you know around, you know him. But anyway, I would like to say we'll be able to watch them this Sunday, but do keep an eye on social media. I don't think it's going to happen because England are going to be in the final. But if it is, keep an eye, because it'll be a brilliant day of football if it is, you know, and it'll be a big buzz about it. But
and keep an eye out generally for the fixtures anyway.
And Spencer, Jacko, you fancy a naughty away day to some Sunday somewhere in the country if we're allowed out. Lads, go and support him. Take the drum with us. Get Bigsy involved because he loves think we're doing a naughty little away day somewhere in the UK.
There's some great away games this season for the women.
Shame there's none that can sort of tie in the same area. Like, it'd be good if like you play like Bath and Portishead would have been the same weekend. That would have been good,
There's Norwich City, there's Cambridge United, Cambridge City, Queen's Park Rangers.
Well, QPR would be good one.
QPR would be a good one, I think, to go to.
Do they do that at Loftus Road or is that their training ground?
No, I think it's the training ground, but...
That'd be good. But anyway, we look forward to seeing the season. Really excited. Like, both teams, I mean, you know, if the men start, I mean, we'll talk about that in a later podcast, but with 3 wins out of 3, that must give a bit of energy towards the women's team to see what success Hinch is bringing to the men's squad and then bring it into the women's team to start their season, kickstart it.
I think there's a positive vibe around the club, you know, like you said, 3 out of 3. And that's, I think it will cascade down to the women's team.
Oh, how that's changed since we did our pre-season podcast after quite average pre-season friendlies and look at the start we've had. But we're not talking about the men's, this is a women's podcast. But just a little change up bit, we've had news about investment from, I better get his name right, sorry.
Ralph
Gilbert, who actually owns a focus group, which is our shirt sponsor, but it's his investment arm, his private investment. Barry Hunter promised to us, didn't he, that once everything's in clear daylight, he'll come speak to us. So we sat down with Barry, and Barry's talked to us about the plans around the club, talked a little bit more about the investment and what to expect, because it has been a busy summer, guys, for him, hasn't it, with all the deals and stuff going around the club, which I had to remind him of.
Yeah, I think it's been a really busy summer, and, you know, on and off the pitch. And, you know, the investment, I think, is a great thing for the club.
It's going to take it places.
It's going to take us places, get us ready for the next step as a club in general, not just the men's, but I think in general.
Yeah. Well, let's see what some of this investment is going to do, because Barry delves a little bit deeper for us.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
We're now joined by Barry Hunter, who couldn't join us on the last one because we've had quite a lot of news. And I think I've written on here, it's been the summer of deals for you. You must have been a very busy man. And I'll read the summer of deals.
Oh, yeah.
New stadium name, new shirt sponsors, new shirts. new training products, new sleeve sponsors, new back of shirt sponsors, new women's sponsors, well, same sort of women's sponsors, a new youth partner, investment from the focus group, all sorts, Barry. Have you had a chance to stop?
I'm glad you raised that, James.
You looked confused when I said that. You've forgotten already.
And also, we brought in a new general manager.
New general manager and Keith, who's fantastic. You've actually given us a pitchside sign as Rebel Yell, which I know it was Keith's work. I mean, it's taken a year and a half to get it, but Keith comes in within a week. It's on the side of the pitch, so, you know, you can't complain, can you?
Yeah, I think you're going to enjoy Keith being around, and he's a very seasoned...
And as you know, we've met with him, Spencer and I, because we've got various things boiling under the water right now, so bubbling away and, you know, involving the club, but... Busy summer, or I don't know if it's probably not been the summer, it's been over the past few months, because business deals don't just happen over a few days and weeks, do they?
No.
And you know, you came into the Sports Association meeting and sort of outlaid some of the plans for the club earlier on in the summer before they all went public. So yeah, I don't know really where to start. So I guess maybe let's start about like the out with the old and with the new then. So, you know, Rabbit Group, they've been a sponsor for a long time. Crucial Environmental, they've been a sponsor for a long time. What was the reasoning behind them and, you know, and them not wanting to renew? Was it just the sort of level that the clubs were at and the sort of status and, you know, just the, sort of maybe wanting a bigger brand to sort of highlight the club a little bit more?
Yeah, I went to make a point of speaking and meeting both of the sponsors, because the first thing you have to do is thank them for the support they've given us. Rabbit, before my time at the club, and I know when George was starting to do the pitch with the 3G, the first one that went down that didn't succeed, but... I think Rabbit were in helping with some digging, and they offered to help George and the club at the time. And it's at a time when the club needed some support. So they did a deal, and then it was extended. And then when I got involved, we extended it again for another 2 years with the shirts, and shirts go in 2 year cycles. And, I went to see Greg recently, to say, look, what do you want to do going forward? We'd love for you to be on board again, because we really appreciate what you've done. You're a great brand. You're a local brand. But I think he and the Crucial Environment, Dave Crucial there, probably said the same thing. Look, we believe we've done a really loyal job with the club. We've enjoyed the journey, but we probably think now you are growing at a pace where you're becoming more of a regional club. And we're more local businesses, and there's probably a better match for you. And that's really how then we thought, right, actually, that was quite a quick process, because... Mm. Those conversations happened in June, July, and we had to get on board new sponsors. But
It looks weird not having Rabbit on the shirt. We did say it looks really strange after being used to it for so long. But so how does the sort of appointment of a new sponsor work? Do you go out sort of touting local national businesses? Do they approach you? Like, just from the general fan, because I ain't got a clue how it happens. I'm sure a lot of us don't. It's just sort of a pure interest how it works.
Yeah, well, the shirt sponsor... was a little easier for us, because I was already having a conversation the board were having a conversation with Ralph Gilbert anyway.
Which we'll talk about in a bit,
indeed. And it just occurred to us that he works and he owns and co-founded a massive business in the area. And why not see if we can integrate that into an investment agreement? So that was that helped us having those conversations anyway. And the main stand... we obviously knew Sussex Transport and the team there, and we've worked with them on some other sponsorship deals. They're a great group of people.
Yeah.
And Damien got involved. Keith met Damien. Keith made that deal happen with Damien. And I think that's going to be a really good opportunity for both businesses.
Well, they've got the biggest sign I've ever seen out the front of the stadium. It's not really incognito, is it? You know where you're coming now. But why were the name Community Stadium? Was it because, obviously, you've got the only other one I know around this area. You used to have the American Express Community Stadium, which has now been renamed to the American Express Stadium. You obviously got the Camping World Community Station up the A24 for Horsham. Was it because of the fact this club really is at the heart of the community and you wanted to get that name in? And was that Sussex Transport saying that, or was that a Worthing idea? Like, how did that bit come about?
I would say it was our idea because, first of all, we absolutely do want to be a community club. And if we ever talk about vision and our mission and vision of the club, you'll always hear about where we want the first team in the men's to be, what league they're playing in, where the women's should be, pathways, etc. But we will always talk about our role in the community and the influence of football in the community. But at the same time, we are located right in the heart of the residential part of Worthing is
much to your disdain at times with like your plans for the club. I appreciate.
No, but I think you have to turn some of those things into opportunities and strengths. And you know, you can walk to this ground, you can cycle, you can get a train, you can get a bus.
Can't they, Spencer? Unlike me, joking.
Yeah, yeah. But no, you're right. It's been a busy old summer, and that's where I think people that are working in the club off the pitch are at their busiest, to be honest. You have to set things up. We can't wait for a ball to be kicked in earnest, get the season started.
Well, you've obviously spoken to John and Kelly tonight. They're in a new league this season. One of the things we wondered, I think we spoke to about it last season, you know, from a funding point of view of the club, what happens? Were there a step up? I understand they're still not paying the players, am I right in saying it's just sort of, you know, cover costs and everything like that. You know, they've attracted some amazing names, two of which we've had on here already tonight. Where, from a business point of view and chairman's point of view, like, where does the plan set out for the women's team now? Because John's got big goals, and we did joke about it. He says he wants to be at the top. And we know what a heart attack Hinch gave you last season, joking aside.
Yeah. First of all, it was great to listen in. I've listened into those two conversations because I don't get enough of a chance to meet and speak with the team, the women that play, the players, and John and Kelly. So it was great to listen in and learn about their expectations. We've got a meeting coming up actually in a couple of weeks as a board with the women's team, or at least the manager and coaches, so that we can properly understand what their true ambition is this season and how we can help as a board to do that. It's always about balancing, isn't it? Because, you know, there's no doubt that our income into the women's team is going to be less than the outgoings. So it's being supported by the club. A lot of the things we do to support the women's club at the moment is around things that we're doing as a club. So whether that's getting the stadium to the right standard, putting a proper 3G pitch, making sure the lights are there. As you said in your interview, making sure we've got the right quality of food and beverage support, and the bars are open, and we can do those things for them. But I think it was John that said their transition from last season was grassroots football into National League. Now the trajectory is huge, like the men's team. And so this is a massive learning curve for us. And what I would say is we want to do everything we can to support progress. We're about progress, because this club can and have and should have successful teams, both in the men's and the women's game, for sure, given the size of the town. So we want to understand what they need, and we'll do our level best to help them.
Yeah, you know, we've got the women, you know, some real away trips coming up to the likes of Portishead's coming up, but it's Norwich, two Cambridge teams, just off the top of my head, you know, so that's a real learning curve as far as just logistics and costs and everything, I guess, for the club.
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously for John and Kelly, it's something they're used to. They've played and they've managed at a senior level. It's new to the football club, and we've got to do our best to support them, because they know what it's going to take, and we're going to listen. And it's a very exciting time, though. Very excited to be involved. And of course, I think it was mentioned, we want to introduce a girls' pathway here for sure as soon as we can. It was something we discussed.
Well, we've mentioned it since, yeah, we've spoken about it really, and even more heat behind it since the Euros.
Yeah. Exactly.
Obviously, if England women win the World Cup on Sunday, again, you've got to strike well.
Absolutely.
You know, so what's the latest on that then? You know, you say as soon as possible, and we've know the pitch is so rammed and it's a massive source of income. Is it more of a case that we're going to have to sort of team with other facilities around Worthing to be able to provide that?
Yeah, we are working on a project at the moment.
Amazing. Yeah.
And it's to provide us with something that's more regular. Facility. I don't want to give too much away because it's not done just yet, but rest assured, and I think we've done enough to show that we get other things right here. We've got plans to try and address that problem, because the one thing they should have is enough facilities to train them.
I think it will be such a great, you know, the pathway for the men's. We've seen great successes there. If for the women's game, you know, if we could do that, you know, what a way.
Seeing players play for Man City or, like, you know, Man United in, like, the Super League, even the country, would be amazing, wouldn't it? And they've started at Worthing.
Yeah, but even if you look at Ella Newman, went from here to Wimbledon, you know, that's the first step, you know, and I think John and Kelly can do it. They provide, they can make players into better players and move them on. Yeah. You know, and I think the pathway is crucial to it.
Yeah.
And even I would say, my view is maybe the development centre on the Friday night have a separate one for the girls. That is maybe something to look at. But
no, I think you're right, Jacko. I think there's so much opportunity. The good thing is we've got two really very good people and sports team, and the board's job isn't to try and give them a strategy or a plan. It's for them to determine that and for us to see what we can do to support them. It's got to be that way around.
Yeah, I was just going to add to that. You know, there's so many young girls now that are interested in football and getting interested in football. And, you know, if when England win on Sunday, that's going to balloon even more. And it's an opportunity for the club to get in there and pick up some local talent.
I think it's the factors as well. Is that I can put my hands up and say, a couple of years ago, 3-4 years ago, I wasn't remotely interested in women's football. And it's not a sexist thing, it's not something to say, but watching them down the club has got me involved, watching the country do so well. And now I found myself the last few days watching England games, would be on TV, I'm cheering them as much as I am the men's team, which I've grown up with. And that's what I think is amazing. You're sort of grabbing the attention of these guys, and, you know, it could be classed as mild sexism over the years, not through a club, but through personal, you know, people don't really care about women's foot. We still get the old stupid comments. But, you know, how nice is it now that the country's turning around? You're getting, I reckon you've seen Box Park, I've seen it on BBC, like completely full every day with like fans, like it would be during the Men's World Cup. And the club being able to do something like that and the team getting better and better, it must be a massive opportunity. I can see you're going to take it with both hands, but it's something you must be quite excited for, Barry.
Yeah, I listened to Danny and Emma earlier talking, and the it's just fantastic to have such a buzz around the women's squad, another section of the club. Don't forget, we're Worthing Football Club, and we should embrace, you know, all forms of playing and all genders. And it's not only great to see them enjoying themselves and coming here despite better offers, perhaps, in terms of money. Isn't it great that it's the same thing we're getting in the men's first team as well. It's the way we do things here. The facilities, the ethos, the coaching, the putting people first, I think is a philosophy that seems to breathe through the club. That's just such a buzz. And I to see that in the women's team, in the men's team, and the junior pathways with the boys, and to bring that in into a girls' pathway as well, it's going to make the club a much stronger proposition for sure. We're really looking forward to it.
And just on what you said earlier, James, 3-4 years ago, you said, I'm going to watch women's football. People laughed at you and thought you were absolutely mad. You know, I've been going 2-3 years to watch a women's football. I'll absolutely love it. I'll take my son with me. We absolutely love it on Sunday.
Much more chilled vibe, isn't it, than like going and watching a men's game,
I
think.
It's a real family day out.
Yeah.
It's loads of kids.
But what does help, though, I think the Worthing women play really nice football.
Oh, yeah. They play brilliant football.
So that always helps.
I think one of the differences, and I know this through my own professional career with football and sport, that I think the stat is that 68% of boys, maybe a little higher, between the ages of 5 and 8 are introduced to football. 2-3 years ago, that figure for girls was about 11%. And the only way this is going to really grow, the women's game is going to grow in England, is by introducing girls into football at a much earlier age and getting them up to the same sort of ratios as we got with boys. That's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, and I think it'll be exciting because it will happen. You start a pathway, you see how proud you were, and players like Jasper Patton have gone over to Wickham. Ricky, I know he's back here this season, but he's been to Swindon, he's got that experience. You see like Marvin Armstrong, you know, Finn, you know, they're all playing at a much higher level of the effect that Worthing has had. Do that to a woman, like, you know, get a girl in, she's maybe been dropped from Brighton, pick her up off the floor again and get her through the system. She's back up playing Super League Championship football. It'd just be amazing because it'd just be, well, hopefully it could be Worthing up at those positions that are playing there. You never know.
Yeah, I think the sky's the limit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Right, so we talked about that. Is it coming home, by the way?
Absolutely.
Good.
I watched the game, the semi-final.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? Some of those goals.
We were very impressive. Yeah. Not just the goals, but the link-up play. No, just the everything. The play was very strong.
Yeah, Sabrina Wiegman's really done wonders for the squad, hasn't she?
Must be Dutch. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, that's why you got to support it anyway, haven't you? Yeah, if it wasn't. So we've had the investment from the focus group. A statement was put out, I think it was last week. 10%, is it, he's taken the club, 10% share of the club. How did that come about? You know, you said you were in conversation with him for a while and everything like that. Was it the sort of trying to take the club to the next level, you realised that maybe some outside investment was needed, and, you know, I don't think you need to sell him the club because he's a local businessman. He knows the area. You don't need to sell. Everyone knows what Wormwood are doing. So, you know, just how did it all come about, Barry?
Well, first, just to be absolutely clear about this, is it's Ralph Gilbert himself privately. He does own Focus Group.
Oh, so it was just, okay, cool.
It's a private investment from him. Focus Group are involved because he could, but they're
and
not
the sponsorship.
They're not shirts, the investors, It's Gilbert Investments. It's his investment vehicle. I'd love to say this was part of an M&A strategy that we've had at the club for a number of years, but I think George had a mutual friend with Ralph that connected. And it is fair to say that over the last few seasons, we've had quite a bit of interest from people or organisations that have wanted to buy a chunk of the club. They've come in different sort of shapes and sizes and different conditions. And when we have spoken to others, but when we spoke to Ralph, we just felt that the balance of the relationship, what he wanted from an investment and what we wanted from an investor, sat perfectly. So,
did you get the feel from other people that this isn't the right fit for the club? Because I guess they've got to have some sort of, you've got to feel comfortable with them investing in the club, and, you know, because, you know, you take someone that maybe they've got the money and they might want this, but, you know, then it goes all Pete Tong down the line.
Yeah, I think that the money is out there. For me, the most important thing is that we know what we're trying to do, and we've got a clear plan, and we've got people in the organisation that can deliver that. So to bring in somebody else who wants majority share to take that all over themselves, for me would have been, and I know for George and Chris, would have been a disruptive thing for the football club, despite more money perhaps being out there, more available. But for us, we've got the right balance of investment here. It's a 10% shareholding in the club, so he doesn't want to run the club. Mm. He wants to support what we've currently been doing, see it progress. But in Ralph, we've got somebody who's well-connected locally, and I think for a lot of projects we've got in place, he can help us with some of those. And he's also got, for a relatively young man, he's got a lot of now some business experience, very successful. So I'm sure his experience will help us navigate through some challenges and some opportunities as we go through all that we're going to be going through. He's really keen to get involved with the football club. And I think, but he knows that it's something he wants to learn. And I think it's just a great balance with the amount of money he's introduced as well. It's just worked perfectly for the life stage of the football club.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because I guess you would have earmarked the investment for certain projects around the club, which obviously when they become available to present to the public and the fans, you will be able to. Do we expect over the course of the season to see sort of announcements every so often that, you know, these things are going on at the club, whether it's infrastructure, facilities, or, you know, whether it's in the playing squad? I know you've said it publicly, you want to go full-time within the next 5 years. You know, with this investment, could that maybe be a bit closer than 5 years now?
So, a couple of things. So, the investment that we've introduced to the club isn't to fund a salary base. Because the minute you do that, you're into areas then of jeopardy, because 3 years down the line, if that money stops, what happens? And we've seen it so many times with other clubs.
Many examples of that, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, when it goes wrong, it goes really wrong.
Yes, it does.
South Bend are a very bad example.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there are a lot of examples of where that's happened, and it's vulnerable, makes you vulnerable. So we talk a lot about sustainability. What we want to do is only spend what we earn. So how we will fund our ongoing annual costs, salaries and everything else, will be through our ongoing annual income streams, which have been growing really well over the last two seasons. So we believe with the income growth we've got going on, we can continue to grow the playing budget and invest in full-time staff within the club. The one-off investments that we need for the stadium can be covered by these sorts of investments, and that's what this is for.
So exciting times, because we know, like, since speaking, like, Ange is very good for, like, finding grants left, right and centre for little things like that. And, you know, we all love to see the stadium progress. Is there anything coming soon that you can say to the Rebel Yell listeners of anything coming, you know, very soon to the stadium that might be improving the match day experience? And we're not talking about Bigsy and his toilets, because we know every time he sees you, he says, "I want more toilets." So.
Yeah. Well, you're becoming very diplomatic in your old age here, James.
It's, I know I'm going bald and I'm showing my hair off, but, you know, bloody hell, Jesus, I'm not
you out. You took offence to that, yeah. I say diplomacy because I know, you know, we talked off air about different things, and you know I'm not keen on the rumour mill. I'm more keen...
Well, I can't really be asked for you to message me later on tonight and go, can you take this out? Which normally happened, because I think I've got a deadline of tonight to put this online.
So. No, we have a responsibility. I've got a role to play here, haven't I, just to give people a proper update.
It's just like, I think, us. You know, it's more the things that sometimes, you know... There's so many rumour mills going on, and it'd just be nice to hear from the horse's mouth, like, you know, that's right. But going back to what we're saying, so yeah, stay like what are the latest plans in the pipeworks that you can sort of talk about to give the fans a little bit of juicy gossip?
So the investment that we've got in now will be deployed in the stadium, through the stadium, and Keith at the moment is going through a plan of how do we deploy that money. And I think we've probably broken it into three parts. There's the absolute must-have, which is for us to go up, for us to be able to say to Adam, great season, you've got promotion this year, next year, whenever that might happen. By the way, we've got money aside to do all what we need to do for the ground for us to survive in the league above from a ground grading point of view. That's got to be the must. And
it's all ticked now, isn't it? Like, we're fine in this level with our stadium now.
Oh, we are fine here. Yeah, but I'm talking about,
National League,
National League. We are future-proofing our ability to go into the National League with the ground grading. So some of the money that has been put in by Ralph will go against ensuring with grants that we can do all the things we need to do in the ground to survive and actually meet the ground grading requirements. That will include having 4,000 capacity rather than the 3 that were at the moment. Now, that's going to require some work in terracing.
Imagine 4,000 people here.
Exactly. Having terracing behind the West End goal, which is you need the steps, which is at the moment flat. We need to do that, and we need more turnstiles in. So there'll be quite a lot of things that we've got to do that we need to set aside for whenever we can go up. We want to be in a position to say to Adam, go ahead, keep going.
And things are going to be on a league basis, aren't they? I think you made that quite clear to us last season, you know, in the podcast. Like, it's not all going to happen overnight, because some parts of it, there's no point, because you do get grants if you go promotion. There's no point spending the money now when, if we get promoted next year, we can get it done per grant.
Yeah, and as much as there are things we would love to do now, we would be foolhardy to spend money that we know is available in grants that's there from the FA and the Football Foundation. Then there's a second tier of need to have. If you look at the stadium as it is, and I would probably call it more of a ground than a stadium at the moment, we definitely need more roof cover for terracing. We've lost what we did have behind the West End because we needed to fix some capacity challenges basically the calculation for capacity behind that goal was zero because those steps were no good.
Yeah.
That flattened. We had to take the stand out, and that stand didn't survive beyond taking it out.
It's a bit rusty.
Yeah, so clearly that's an obvious thing. We are, if not today, by the beginning of next week, there'll be a planning application in to put a covered stand across the whole of that West End. And that will then form part of our thinking of how we deploy some of the investment we've got.
I remember you in the Isthmian League, we were at Carl Shorten, and you stood there outside the pitch next to me saying, I love this stadium, this is what I could envision Worthing being like. Is that what you know, obviously it's going to be a little bit more modern than that because that was built back in the day, but is that what you envisage over the next sort of 5 or so years to look something similar like that, almost enclosed terracing, stuff like that? Is that what your goal for Woodside Road is?
Yeah, the thing I liked particularly at Carl Shorten was the stand opposite, the big main stand opposite, which ran the 100 metres, the length of the pitch, but it was all terracing. I think that's going to work for us here, because for us to get the capacity, we need more terracing, but we need it undercover. So that particular stand, I think, would work really well on the north.
Yeah.
As we go up into the step one, the National League, we need to get another 1,000 capacity. Definitely that will involve some forward development on that bank where we can get some support with grant funding.
And obviously the things with step one, at the moment you're not allowed to drink pitch side, you know, if we did go up, and that's a massive income generator for the club. I guess having this big fan zone behind here is a massive bonus for us as well, because of, I mean, that must be something you're having to sort of work out in budgets, isn't it? You know, with the drinking rules.
Yeah, the drinking rules we are trying to understand, because I'm told that there's some local interpretation of some of that with licensing laws, etc. So I don't know enough at the moment about what's possible.
You could be a trendsetter if we get into step one. You could be. Because we know Peter Crouch did that documentary about, you know, Dulwich. You know, one of the reasons they didn't really want promotion, kind of relegation probably suited them well because they got two more promotions to get through with, you know, having drinking at the side of the pitch officially. So, I mean, that's something that's the lifeblood of non-league clubs.
Yeah, but it is. But if you look, the buildings were in a really bad state of repair, weren't they?
It's
just the drinking, plus the whole thing around it. And I think we are in a much better position.
We are. We know that we could, but there'll be enough demand here, especially if we go out and push it, which we haven't done big time yet, is that actually when we get people to the ground, probably we're not going to be able to service them at the standards that I think would keep them coming back week after week. So our priority, as much as it, you know, it bothers me that we're not out practically trying to drive gates at the end of the week. My priority, the ball's priority, is to ensure that the stadium is in a good place where people come and have a good experience.
You know, you're saying 4,000 potential capacity. It's everything that else that's associated with that, isn't it? It's serving people drinks, food, toilets, getting people in the ground, getting people out of the ground with 4,000. That's real challenges, isn't it? It's not just where they stand.
It is. And we're trying to plan ahead as usual. That's what we need to do. So included in our investment thinking, our strategy will be more food and beverage outlets. I can see Keith looking at one down in the southwest corner.
I don't even know the sort of directions when I'm sitting here. I can't even,
southwest corner is over where nearby the mast. In that corner.
That mast is stuck there for a long time though, isn't it?
That's another story.
Here we go. This is for another podcast. I've got an idea, babe. Behind the stand, there's a long, long brick wall. Have you ever thought about putting a long urinal along there? And that would be an alleviation behind the main stand. They do it in Germany, don't they? In stuff like places like that. Just a men's urinal outdoors, just a little bit of cover, it would be perfect.
It has to be mentioned.
Yeah.
Whatever we do, we need to do it properly.
Yeah,
we need
to be. You don't want it to look.
No, we need to do it right. And
that's very non-league, isn't it? You want it to look like professional.
Where we want to go, we need to do it properly, don't we?
Yeah, well, you need to look above non-league Veery, you know, we're digressing. It's for another podcast.
But didn't us say on the announcement from the investment, we want to be professional on and off the pitch?
Yeah.
Full-time. So what that's trying to say is that we've got a lot of volunteers. We've had volunteers running this club for a number of years, well, forever. For us to get into the National League, behave as a professional football club, we need to have both full-time on and off the pitch.
Yeah. Do you expect this planning application that's going in, do you expect much resistance from the neighbours? Because I would have thought it would be quite good because they get a bit of shelter from the sound.
I don't
see. Have you done sort of questioning and say, sorry?
We've done our homework. Yeah. We've had the planners over. We've taken advice on what they would consider reasonable. I think the application's going in for a 2.5 metre height. So not as high as we'd want it, but it would fit with the tops of the sheds behind that, behind those fences. It wouldn't.
So it'd be nice and cozy, but just like a good atmospheric.
Similar to maybe a bit higher than what we had.
Yeah.
But across the whole width is what we'd like to try and do as part of a plan. We want to get that done as soon as. I'd like to think before Christmas, but that's down to Keith.
Yeah, because we were saying, like, we've said it last year, you know, I've mentioned this to you before, you know, one of the things is, I think because we've got the investment now, you can seriously look at it, but we did say that, you know, these fixtures coming in the winter, you need to get as much money as possible. You know, if it's a Tuesday night, it's 0 degrees outside, it's peeing with rain, the lack of shelter could drive people or the casual fans away. And I guess that's something you want to offer them. So, yeah, it might be raining, it might be horrible, but we have got shelter now.
We just need more cover, don't we? For even our regular loyal supporters, we just need to give everyone a much better experience than they're able to enjoy at the moment. I know that. The board know that. We've got the investment in. We've got a good guy going to lead the project, so I'm comfortable we're going to get there very soon.
Yeah, it really adds to the atmosphere in the ground as well when everybody's under a roof making a bit of noise.
It does. You just want something more to bang and behave because it's nice and new. If you ever see dents in the back, blame him. Want to bang from the ground. And talking, well, obviously we did mention off air, but one more planning application has gone in about the fan zone roof. Finally, we might have something this winter because we do know like it wasn't used to its full potential last winter because obviously that area got very muddy and people aren't going to go, and you know that that could be a place we went to. Where was it? We went in Isthmian League, Potter's Bar. And you, I know you, that was another one. You said, even in the winter, where it was cold and freezing cold outside, we were all still stood under there. Lights, there was a bit of heating, you know. I think they had screens out there and everything like that. And
outdoor
heaters. Yeah, outdoor heaters. So people stayed around there, and it's quite a nice facility. I guess that's the sort of same sort of vibe you wanted to go for here.
Yeah, it is. And again, we want to try and do it properly, so we wanted a proper floor.
Not the Oktoberfest stalls that they had there from the Christmas markets.
Exactly. Yeah. We wanted a porous floor that was solid, stable. We didn't want muddy grass. We wanted a roof so people could keep dry. It had to be supported properly. There's a lot of foundations being developed for it, believe it or not, for it to be safe and secure. So we've taken our time pulling together the right spec for what's needed, and that's in planning already. Yeah. And I'd like to think again that will be in before around the November time.
And just before we wrap up, we've been speaking a great chat as usual, Barry. Thank you. But the new bar, the old gym, it's been an ongoing saga. I know we've had change of management, change of bar owners, and everything like bar management and stuff like that. What is the latest with that? Because I know it has been used occasionally on match day for the shop before the club shop was here in pre-season. Will we see a fitted out bar this season, or is that kind of maybe gone on the back burner a little bit now?
The actual bar itself in that building probably won't happen this side of Christmas. Okay. We've got the bar, obviously, with outside. Fan Zone. The important thing is that the agreement we have with Dan and Ultimate Fitness is that as you walk in from the front into the building, the left-hand side of the doors is permanently ours as a club. We haven't partitioned yet, but we will. And that will then form part of our demise. On a match day, we open up the partition and we have access to the whole building. So there will be an investment plan in there. It will be part of what Ralph has invested in us.
Brilliant.
But we can also go and get grants as well. So we're thinking through how we best deploy that.
So by this time next year, we'll probably see a very different looking Woodside Road, hopefully, if all goes to plan then, Barry.
I hope so.
Yeah. Maybe in the National League.
I hope so.
And maybe what the women's, what would be National League? It would just be the National League, won't it? It won't be Division One, it would be in the National League.
It won't be a South East anymore.
But yeah. Barry, thank you so much. Guys, anything else from you?
No, thanks for all the information.
Yeah, you chat. But we appreciate it.
Time as always,
Barry. Pleasure. Are you going to be texting me tonight?
We'll see.
There we go.
The Rebel Yell Podcast.
It's been a very long but enjoyable podcast tonight. You know, they do all the work for us, don't they, guys?
They make it really easy for us, really.
We just got the microphones, which are now branded, I'd say. They look quite swish, don't they?
They're really,
smart. Swish, yeah. Unlike us. Yeah, I don't know what that is. Guys, so hopefully see... Oh, Jack, I know you're going on holiday, sunning yourself.
Yeah, I am.
Getting your sexy body out on the beach with a nice little tan so you come back nice and brown in a few weeks' time. But Spencer, I hope we'll see you down. Well, I'll see you on Sunday for the Women's Football World Cup.
Yep.
Hopefully the women's working team, but it doesn't look likely. But do keep an eye on the social medias, guys. It's unfortunate because we were going to be down promoting membership of the Worthing FCSA on Sunday, where you can pick up your new badge now. So if you listen to this, if you're going to the men's game, you can pick it up on Saturday before the game, and also sign up if you haven't signed up already.
We'll be out signing up. Keep an eye out for us.
And if we are down here for the women's game on Sunday, if it is on, we will be here as well doing that on Sunday. So just keep an eye on that. Otherwise, we will be at other games. We'll be at other women's games right up until next few months. We've got about 300 badges. So we want at least 300 members this year, don't we, guys? So come on.
That's good target.
It's £8. £8 for adults, £5 for children. You get a really good badge, if I don't say so myself. But honestly, Spencer, how many people said they just paid out for the badge in itself anyway?
Did you decide that,
Spencer? No, I didn't. No.
How much longer have we got left on this podcast?
And coming soon, new Rebel Yell t-shirts. So keep an eye out on socials for that. Ooh. So coming soon, we will have new Rebel Yell t-shirts. But please do support us. Come down if you can on Sunday. Support the women's team all throughout the rest of the season. Sign up for the Worthing FC Supporters Association. £8, I said, for adults, £5 for children. Not just an amazing banging pin badge. It looks unreal and it glistens in the sunshine. Doesn't it? I'm just getting the looks right now. But anyway, lots of bonuses this season, benefits. You get a chance to present player of the month. You get the chance to win a prize draw. Kids are a little thing. And we have, obviously, it supports Rebel Yell in itself. So at Rebel Yell, WFCSA on social medias, on Twitter, or X, what it's called now, Instagram and Facebook. Worthing FCSA on also those social media channels. Rebel Yell live on a match day with Pete on a men's match day. Tune in monthly to this podcast. Also now available on YouTube.
Yeah. Got YouTube.
And it worked. So yeah, guys, thanks again. I will see you in a few weeks. We'll do the men's catch up. It's going to be like a bi-weekly thing till next month, isn't it? Because we'll do the men's end of month podcast in a couple of weeks. But other than that, up the Rebels.
Up the Rebels.
Happy Rebels.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.